Here's my text, two verses from Acts chapter 5. Verse 41 and 42, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not. They did not refrain from teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples of our Lord were men whose entire lives were dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the gospel of His glory. These men believed Christ. They didn't just believe in Christ or about Christ. They believed Him. That's what Abraham said. He believed God. He said that four times in the Scripture. He believed God. Actually believed God. They loved Christ. They preached Him. They believed Him. Trusted Him. And they declared Christ and Him crucified. In several verses, this statement occurs from the writings of the apostles. In Acts chapter 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Preached Christ to them. In Acts 8, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preach Christ to them. In Acts chapter 9, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that He's the Son of God. He preached Christ. In Acts 11, and when they came to Antioch, they spake unto the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Acts 28, at the end of Paul's ministry, it says he dwelt two whole years preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. These men preach Christ. I don't hesitate for a moment, not one moment, to call myself a predestinarian. I don't hesitate one moment. I believe God Almighty is absolutely sovereign. Scripture says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. By whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. And whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, them He glorified. What shall we say to these things? I don't say anything. I believe it. I'm a predestinarian. I believe the Scriptures, 100%, the infallible, eternal, almighty Word of the living God. I believe God. I believe God is God. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is absolutely sovereign. God is almighty. And our God worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He reigns in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth and giveth it to whomsoever He will. I believe the old timers. I believe their word. I believe Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob. I believe Augustine, Apostle Paul. I believe Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Huss, Owens, Whitfield. I believe these men are tested, tried, proven servants of God. Thank God for them. And make no apology. I believe God. I believe His Word. Rest in Him. Trust Him. Secondly, I do not hesitate to call myself a born-again believer. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're born not of the will of the flesh and not of the will of man. We're born not of natural genealogy. We're born of God. I believe that we're the redeemed in Christ Jesus. And my friends, as one body, not several, one body, the body of Christ. One body. We're His body. We're one body. And we're one spirit. Not many spirits, several spirits, one blessed, eternal, Holy Spirit of God. One God, one body, one spirit, one hope of His calling. One hope. That's the blessed hope. The eternal hope. The good hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're one Lord, one God and Father, one faith. Not several kinds of faith, not the Christian faith and the Muslim faith and the Hebrew faith and the Protestant faith and the one faith. We believe God. One God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. No hesitation, no compromise. One Lord, one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism. Immersion, confessing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting away of sin by the remission of Christ. One God and Father. And I do not hesitate to own, believe, and love the church. The church now. I'm not talking about the Victory Center. I'm not talking about the community of believers. I'm not talking about all the different interpretations and ways and means that men concoct to deny the church. I'm talking about the The church which is purchased with His own blood. His church. He said, I will build my church. C-H-U-R-C-H, church now. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love His church. I believe the church. It shall stand. I love its ordinances. He gave us two, baptism and the Lord's table. Not Christmas or Easter, all these other shenanigans that we bring up, you know, to compromise. And I'm talking about His church. He gave us the Lord's table, the bread and the wine. This do in remembrance of me. As oft as you eat this blood and eat this flesh and drink this blood, you show the Lord's death till He comes. I love the ordinances. I love baptism. Baptism is a confession of faith. It's a confession of Christ. It's a declaration of His sacrifice and His precious blood. And it's always been since the Lord built His church. It's always been the way of confession of Christ. That's right. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. I love the church. Love this church. It's people. It's ordinances. It's elders. It's hymns. It's children. It's doctrines. It's truth. Love the church. Don't you? Thank God for it. Make no compromise. Make no changing of the guard and changing of the words. I'll build my church. I'll build my church. So I'm a predestinarian, a sovereign God. A sovereign God. I'm a believer. A New Testament, born again, redeemed, blood washed, child of the King. And I love the church. I believe the church. Thank God for the church. But if you ask me, what is my creed? I must reply, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the doctrine of predestination. It's not the doctrine of the church. It's Christ the Lord. That's my creed. That's our creed. I will build my church. That's right. But if you ask me my creed, it's Christ. If you ask me what is my body of divinity, it's Christ Jesus and Him crucified. If you ask, what is my religion? What is your religion, preacher? Here it is. Here's my religion. It's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we shall be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's my religion. A person. You see, Jesus Christ the Lord, this is what these disciples, they cease not to preach Christ, to teach Christ, to hold forth Christ, to exalt Christ, to honor Christ, to magnify Christ. Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of our gospel. It's the heart and soul of our gospel. Jesus Christ is the incarnation of all truth. He is the truth. He's not a truth. He's the truth. Jesus Christ is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. All summed it up, Jesus Christ is all in it all. He's all. All before the foundation of the world, all by the foundation of the world, and all through the foundation. He's all in it all. Well, preacher, if you knew you only had one more sermon to preach, and that's a possibility, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories fade away, change and decay, and all around me I see, O thou that changest not, abide with me. If you only had one sermon to preach, just one, what would it be? Well, actually, if I had just one sermon to preach, or two, or three, or four, or 100, it would always be Christ and Him crucified. It doesn't matter whether it's one or 2 dozen, it's going to be Christ. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. But I declared Christ, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect, but Christ and Christ alone. Charles Spurgeon gave an illustration, well, a story, a true story about a preacher. A man named Dr. Geisy, years and years ago. And Dr. Geisy's sermons had become so tedious and so theological and so burdensome upon his people that he labored for years and years and years, until suddenly one Sunday morning, in the midst of teaching his theological discourses, he suddenly became stone blind. And when he became blind, he couldn't read his topics and his writings and his theology. And he just stood there. And Spurgeon said he began to weep. And he began to talk to the people about his problem, his blindness. And he began to just give them a message from his heart, knowing it would probably be the last one that he would preach. And after he finished talking to these people, they alertly listened. And with the deacons, he came down from the pulpit, the podium, and walked up through the congregation, being led by the hand like Paul the Apostle. And as he left the podium and was led away, someone remarked, what a shame. He didn't go blind 20 years ago. Isn't that tragic? I'm so glad we're not blind, aren't you? I'm so glad that the Lord has given us the word of faith, the gospel of His salvation. Well, what is it to preach Christ and Him crucified? What is it? I'm going to give you four things. Give you four things this morning. What is it to declare in no uncertain terms Christ and Him crucified? Well, I'll tell you the first thing is this. It's to declare His deity. His deity. When a person refers to Jesus Christ as a great prophet, as a man refers to Jesus Christ as a great teacher, or a great healer, or even a good man, he's only declared him to be a great imposter. Jesus Christ is not a great teacher. He's the only teacher. He's not a great healer. He's the only one who healeth our diseases. He's not a great man or a good man. He's the man, Christ Jesus. You see, it's to declare Him to be God. I and my Father one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning with God. Without Him, there's no one. He's Almighty. The only true God. He that has seen me has seen my Father. Behold, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall be with child, and I shall call His name Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. He's God. And secondly, preaching Christ is preaching His true humanity. We must never, now listen, this is interesting. We must never make Jesus Christ less man because he's God. And we must never make him less God because he's a man. He's the God-man. Eternal God and a man. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. He was made flesh, and he was made in the likeness of flesh. He was made a man, tempted in all points as we are. Yet, he's God Almighty incarnate. Christ the man, and Christ God Almighty. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 1. Let's turn to this right in Romans chapter 1. This is it, right here, in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was made a man. He was made what he wasn't. He was made a man, perfect man, without sin, but a man. Not less God, but a man. But now watch this. And declared, he wasn't made God. He was made a man, and he was declared to be the Son of God. With power, perfect, almighty power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is a man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Jesus Christ is God, the God-man. And there's no discrepancy, and there's no failure. He's God, and he's a man. And thirdly, watch this carefully. Preaching Christ, it's preaching Christ is God, and Christ is man. Now here's the third thing. Preaching Christ is to preach Christ in the solitariness of his person and work. The solitariness of his person and work. The singleness, the simplicity of Christ. Christ alone redeemed us. Not plus anyone or help from anyone, with alone he redeemed us. Scripture says when he had by himself purged our sins. He had no help. No help whatsoever in the redemption of our souls. It was all of Christ. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Alone without others. He made intercession for us through his blood, the royal bath of mercy was drawn from the veins of the Son of God through a blood atonement. And no blood of noble martyrs or helpers or aids entered that stream. It's the whole complete work of Jesus Christ the Lord. He redeemed us by himself. By himself. The solitariness, the singleness of his ministry, of his work, of his atonement, of his blood, of his righteousness, of everything, didn't have any help from anybody. Now that's so very important. That Christ redeemed us so completely of himself and by himself and through himself that no one, nobody, nothing added one thing to that redemption. Not one thing. I think the thief on the cross is about a clear illustration of the solitariness and the singleness and the complete accomplishment of Christ's death more than any other illustration. This man This man had no help whatsoever. This man was a malefactor. Someone said that he was an outcast of the outcast cast out. He had no virtue whatsoever, no help whatsoever, nothing going for him at all. And the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed him. Someone said he didn't wash, he didn't work, he didn't witness. He believed on Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 53 a moment. Acts 53. In Acts 53, I want to read just three verses here. The solitariness, the oneness, the fullness of Christ's sacrifice. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's it. And I tell everyone this. It's by his full obedience that we have a perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness. Not a progressive righteousness. Perfect righteousness. By his obedience. Once for all. Secondly, it's by his blood that we have justification. If you touch his righteousness or touch his blood, you pollute both of them. If you add anything to his righteousness or blood, you pollute both of them. It's Christ and Christ alone. His holiness is our sanctification. Not should be, it is our sanctification. His holiness is our sanctification, and his presence. His presence is our acceptance, our assurance, and our hope. And because he lives, we live also. That's three things. We preach Christ, his deity, uncompromising deity. His humanity, uncompromising human humanity. The solitariness of his work. Completeness of it. Absolute completeness of his work. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Doesn't contribute in any way on our part, our salvation. It's complete in Christ. He's made unto us all things. We're complete in him. Right, number four. Here's the last. To preach Christ, now listen to me carefully, to preach Christ, preach him, is to preach him as the only mediator between God and men. The only mediator. The only mediator. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, you know it. And I know it. Most of the world doesn't know it. In declaring our Lord Jesus Christ as the only mediator, we set aside and reject all other mediators and all and any other Savior. Mary, the apostles, the saints, the intercessors, the counselors, the statues, the crosses, the symbols, the forms of God, the little things that creep in that give us aids to worship and aids to prayer. Nothing. And let me show you a scripture in Exodus 20. Now listen to this. Exodus chapter 20. And I'm saying this so strongly. There's no symbols, no pictures, no emblems, no figurines or figures. Only Christ. In Exodus 20, verse 20. Exodus 20, verse 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. No other gods. No other representation of God. Mary, apostles, saints, statues, intercessors, crosses, symbols. No other God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, any pictures of God, pictures of Christ, graven image, etchings, paintings, forms, any likeness of anything that's in heaven. Above or in the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. And I'm telling you, thou shalt not bow down thyself to any of these images, statues, figures, and whatever. Because I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I will not share my glory. I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. This is kind of is a summary of what Luke chapter 24. Sort of a summary of my message this morning. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 36. I'm talking about Christ, God. Christ, the man. Christ, the only Redeemer, the only solitariness of His work, only atonement, and no representations, and nobody else. Now listen, in Luke 24, verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified, affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, I myself. Can you get a hold of that? There's no cross, there's no Mary over here, and there's no saint over there. There's I myself. Why on earth would be fooling with anybody else? Why on earth would be interested in anybody else? It's I myself. It's I myself. Handle me. Reach out, touch me. A spirit hath not flesh and blown, did you see me have? This is not a spirit blowing around and an image floating around and an old dead somebody somewhere and a saint that's hanging around. This is Christ the Lord in the flesh. You don't see bones. Flesh and bones hath not, spirit hath not flesh and bones, you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. He showed them their Lord, their Redeemer, their Lord. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonderment, wondered, He said unto them, Do you have any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat. That's the reality of his resurrection, the reality of his person. I'll never have to rub a cross again. Never have to imagine anything. He's real. And he took it and did eat. And he said to them, "These are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalm concerning me." Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And thus he said unto them, "It's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and your witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but now you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass as he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. And they worshiped him, not one another, not a symbol or a sign. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continually in the temple, praising and blessing God.